The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
My co-host is very hyper today.
Yeah,
don't be sorry. What we really need is for you guys to let us know, should he wear his hat forwards or backwards? I vote backwards.
So it's the predicament that a man faces. If I wear this hat forward, it's my high school baseball hat.
Which is even better.
I was not good at baseball, but I still love the hat. The problem is that it looks remarkably like the Oakland A's hats. And since I have a beard, I look remarkably like a noted rat, Mike Fiers. But if I put the hat backwards, Vanessa, I will look like what some people call a bleep boy.
Oh.
Yes. So, do I look like a rat? Do I look like a douche? These are the times that try men's
Let
souls.
Let me describe what Paul's wearing. Green shorts, a Celtics jersey.
Yes.
His high school baseball hat.
Yes.
And Jesus shoes. Now, I don't have room to talk
because
I look like, as Lance Erline said, a tennis player today. I got a little bun action going on.
Yeah, the bun brigade is back. Sean Mapes has his bun on.
Sean has his man bun.
Vanessa has hers. What is happening? What is going on?
We'll get to Tucker Carlson in a second, but this is Vanessa and Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass, as always. Hey, there is an appeal from the NFL. This comes at the shock of nobody. We know that the NFL wanted an indefinite suspension for now Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. So this was predicted, and yesterday they made it official. Here's Adam Schefter on that process. What could come next with the Deshaun Watson appeal?
The NFL had until 9 a.m. on Thursday to make a decision about whether or not to appeal the justice's decision, considering that it would undermine her in her very first decision. And that is exactly what the league decided. It decided to take a stand against the judge's decision to stand up for what it believes is right. And the judge wrote that the NFL proved that Deshaun Watson was guilty of sexual assault, that he posed a threat to the woman around him, and that he compromised the integrity of the National Football League. And six games is not enough in the NFL eyes.
So it's wild, Paul, because when you hear him, or, you know, talk about how Sue Robinson says the NFL proved Deshaun committed sexual assault. It's so hard to forget, like, this isn't actually illegal. I mean, this is the NFL. It's legal in the eyes of the NFL, but this is so separate from the court system.
Yeah, this is personal conduct. So, I mean, people who want a suspension, a long suspension, they're probably going to get it. So we found out this morning that Roger Goodell is, I guess, not going to hear the NFL's appeal, which is still strange because he's the commissioner of the NFL. Isn't he the one that's sort of pushing the appeal forward? So there will be, I guess, a neutral person hearing it.
And it will be the same person that did Deflategate. Fun fact. Most likely. It's true.
Don't distract me.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to remain calm. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious to know if there's actually any way that this gets pushed back upon, because the NFL, they want a season-long suspension. If you go take a look at what some people have been saying about what they expect, Aaron Wilson thinks that the NFL is going to throw the book at Watson because they want to make an example of him. If you go back to one of the proposed possibilities that the NFL came and tried to meet with Deshaun Watson halfway on, it was a 12-game suspension. And I guess what we found out through that, Vanessa, through Charles Robinson, who's going to be on the wheelhouse later today, is that the NFL does not want Deshaun Watson to play in Houston for that game between the Browns and Texans. So, bare minimum, he won't be playing in that game, and I totally get that. Don't you? I mean, if Deshaun Watson's playing against the Houston Texans, you have to talk about him playing for the Houston Texans.
Absolutely.
And why he's not. And I mean, it would be very convenient to say Watson just stopped playing and didn't want to play anymore, but we obviously know it became more than that, even though originally that was the reason.
My favorite narrative was that the NFL didn't know what they were doing. Oh, well, the NFL scheduling people, you know, they didn't intentionally. Yes, they did. I think they intentionally put it at a time where if it is only a third or half, that he can still come here and do that. All right, so what happens next? I think Watson's camp will sue. That's my prediction if it turns out to be a season. They had said before that they were willing to sue, that they were willing to take this to the highest courts and whatnot. I think David Mulugeta and Watson end up suing the league. And I don't think we see Deshaun Watson play in 2022, which would be wild because by the time he would play next season, he would have sat out a total of 2 years for two different reasons.
There's some tricky legalese when it comes to this, too, because if you go back to Ezekiel Elliott's suspension, I guess you can sue the league, but if the NFL puts something in before Deshaun Watson's party puts something in, I feel like there's this weird situation where the NFL can just kind of overrule it if they file things first. And since the NFL's in New York, they can physically file things a little bit more quickly. Look up Mike Florio's website for that. I honestly don't understand how any of that stuff works. But look, he's going to get smacked down. And it's kind of funny that the NFL Players Association thought that they were going to get power here. And, you know, going back to something we touched on yesterday, Roger Goodell gets to ride in the White Knight, the arbiter of justice.
That's the best point that Sean's brought up that I'm like, that explains so much that the NFL for once will get to be the good guy.
And Goodell for once gets to be the good guy with his contract expiring in 2024. He comes in. It is I, the White Knight, here to vanquish Deshaun Watson.
We'll see what happens. And we'll see who Roger Goodell designates for this assignment if it's not him, because he has the power to designate somebody to make this decision. I think he should do it. And when you try to explain this, like I was explaining this to one of my friends who, believe it or not, I do have friends that don't really follow sports. I was explaining this to my friend who doesn't follow sports and telling her about it. And she was like, wait,
classic
so
women. Just kidding.
Okay. So the guy who used to make the decision gets to make the decision again, but there was a judge first who gave her opinion, but he still gets to make the decision. And I'm like, that's absolutely
yes.
Right. Roger Goodell ultimately still makes the decision. What kind of pressure do you guys think Roger Goodell is under from the other owners to suspend Watson long term?
Well,
if at all.
I guess it really depends on if you were to ask the average owner, do they feel like the Browns pulled a fast one? And, I mean, I think most people would say, yeah, they pulled a fast one. And it has nothing to do, actually, with the contract that they gave Deshaun Watson from the perspective of, oh, wow, he's going to be able to weasel his way out of perhaps a significant fine, at least with the way things currently are. He's probably going to get a big fine with when the NFL hands something down. But it's because Watson got that massive contract with all that guaranteed money. If you're an NFL owner, you're like, what the hell was this? So you probably want the Browns to get spanked in some way, shape, or form because you're like, wait a second, the Browns just for no reason at all gave a quarterback way more money than any other quarterback had in NFL history. All of this guaranteed money and the guys off the field, let's just say morally dubious at best.
I agree with you, and I don't think that the owners are going to be – I know that this sounds bad, but I don't think the majority of NFL – owners are going to be worried about the fact that he did these egregious things field. I think it's about the guaranteed money. You saw what happened with the wide receiver market and how once one guy got a big contract, it happened for all of them. Certainly the same thing is true with quarterbacks. You have to thank Steve Bisciotti, owner of the Baltimore Ravens in particular, is a quote-unquote salty, not only because of everything that happened with the NFL and Ray Rice and all of that, but the fact that he's now going to have to give Lamar insane money.
Yeah, that was, I think, the big thing for Biscotti and a bunch of other ones, owners in the NFL. So we'll see how it goes. It is really funny, though, to think that, you know, just a couple of days ago, the NFL Players Association was saying, we really hope that the NFL will stick to this suspension proposal by Sue Robinson. And I think they probably believed that there was a chance it might happen. They have no power. They have no sway. And they are going to get steamrolled, as they always do, because they are the weakest labor union in all of sports.
Should Watson and David Mulugeta and his entire team have just accepted the 12-game settlement?
Yes.
The fine, and gone about their business.
They should have. The problem is, Vanessa, they keep saying that they've done nothing, which, I mean, it's just hard for anyone to believe that. Even if it were, by some act of God, true, who would believe it when there are this many allegations against him outside of somebody who is trying to insert race into the conversation, which, by the way, there still are a lot of people. Like, who in their right mind actually would and have a logical reason for saying, yeah, this is all BS? Like, there's a lot of gymnastics that you're going to have to play with your mouth if you're going to be able to make it actually seem like it makes sense. I don't know. That was a weird descriptor.
But it is mental gymnastics too, because it's his team having to say, okay,
that
would have
made more sense.
Is this the best that we can do? I think the answer is that absolutely. The fact that he was able, regardless of what you think about Deshaun Watson, the fact that he and his team were offered to negotiate his own punishment is forever going to be strange to me. But that's the NFL, and that's why I don't run it. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, good day for the Astros.
Vanessa, wait, or is it Prison Mike, as the Twitcher says, and Mike Fiers?
Yeah.
Prison Mike and Mike Fiers here, ESPN 97.5.
And we have Lance McCullers Jr. behind the glass.
Man bun man.
Astros coming up. Good day for them. We're going to break it all down coming up next.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
That one hit well to left. Welcome to Houston, Trey Mancini.
Welcome to Crush City, Trey Mancini.
That was Kevin Eschenfelder and Jeff Blum calling Trey Mancini's first start as an Astro, and he crushed it. A home run gave the Astros a 4-0 lead. This is something that we want from Trey Mancini. We had talked about the fact that his home runs would go way, you know, he'd have more home runs in Minute Maid than he did in Camden Yards by far. And I think we saw that last night. Exciting for him to be in an Astros uniform, getting the start. We saw him play two nights ago, but it was just, I believe, in the ninth. Cool stuff. And if we can have more moments like that from Trey Mancini when the Astros, they were already up 2-0, but insurance runs. It supports Urquidy. It just makes the whole game easier for the Stros.
The Astros had a great tweet about it yesterday. Mancini, meet the Crawford boxes. Crawford boxes, meet Mancini.
They also did Ice Trey, as well as Trey the Truth.
What do we think about those two?
I clearly like them, considering...
Which one? You have to pick between the two.
The, like, nicknames?
Yes.
Well, Trey the Truth is a rapper. It was just a play on words.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that one a little bit more, because Ice Trey is already another athlete's.
I like Ice Trey.
True.
Trey the Truth, if he's already a rapper, and as you guys know, I know music... Trey the Truth in his famous song, because it's probably mumble rap. I mean, it is mumble rap.
He's a local rapper, so don't go too hard on
I don't
Trey
care.
The Truth.
I don't care. I'm sorry.
Also helped a lot during Hurricane Harvey.
Thank you.
Keep going, Paul. Okay. What were you gonna say?
The Astros, it's got to be Ice Trey. You know, we can't besmirch Trey the Truth like that.
American,
and Houstonian hero.
I would rather you have a nickname that pays homage to Trey the Truth than Trey Young.
Ooh.
One play Trey. And that one play was
one
nice.
Play Trey. How
one play
that?
Trey.
That one play is a home run.
Well, one play Trey Mancini. I mean, Trey Mancini is now on pace for 57 home runs with
go.
The Houston Astros, which would break the home run record, seeing as I believe he has like 15, 16 so far?
Yes, best acquisition in Astros history, let us know. But yeah, no, good to see him get the home run, and it was a really cool moment. And as Kevin Eschenfelder said, welcome to Houston.
Would not have been a home run at Camden Yards, and hopefully this is something that he will be able to take advantage of now that he is here. Very curious to see how they use him. I imagine there will be some corner outfield work. There will be some first base work as well. And I don't know. You know, as far as the nicknames, I'm sorry to keep to stick to this. I feel like we got to do something Italian, right?
Yeah, like, was it you, Sean, yesterday that said Mancini Alfredo?
Yeah.
I like enjoy that.
I think that's maybe the leader.
Yeah.
We have to come up with our
own
nickname.
Should I say it on pre and post?
Yeah, I mean, that's how you definitely. Get it started. Yes,
that's how it gets
started.
That
is the microphone. You,
a little man, Cheaty Alfredo.
But we have to.
It would make Mike Stanton so uncomfortable.
Yes, even better. We have to collectively workshop this, though, okay?
We do.
We want a final product for the next time that you go on, and then you can sneak it in. If you so choose to, it's up to you. No pressure except from everyone listening right now and us too. But I think this is something that we need to work on.
Like, in the case of last afternoon's game, it would be something about like, and the Astros continued to cook the Red Sox in the top of the third or bottom of the third or whatever he hit the home run with Trey Mancini Alfredo's home run to the Crawford box.
Okay,
it's happening.
It could work.
Something like that. Try to work in some culinary as the setup and then Mancini Alfredo.
And then I come in and just blow people's minds.
When's the next time you're on?
Today.
Okay. Shoot, we might need to. We might need to expedite this process because here's the thing, okay? And I'm bringing this up because one of my buddies, Josh Innes, who I know not everyone's a fan of, he had the nickname for Tyler White, Big Puddin, which is objectively a better nickname than Great White. I'm sorry, Tyler White's not great. No offense to Tyler White. And Tyler White as the Great White, because the broadcast had the power, that became the thing as opposed to Big Puddin, which
sets
was better.
The agenda.
Right.
Yeah.
So you get to set the agenda because you're part of the broadcast. Like, we have unprecedented power here, and we can't mess this up. So text him in, 713-780-3776.
We need some nicknames, for sure. All right, Urquidy needs no nickname. He was fantastic last night.
Nice.
Absolute, almost a shutout.
Almost a no-hitter until Mark Berman allegedly jinxed him.
Yeah, it was Brian McTaggart, I think, and Mark Berman that tweeted it out, maybe, and then immediately it happened. But look, I mean, we talk about how deep this Astros rotation is. This is a guy that we, value here and we thought would get traded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last night on the broadcast, Julie Morales told a story. I did not know she told the story on the broadcast. I'm glad you brought it up. She had told me this before a game a couple nights ago, and I didn't know if we were allowed to say it on air. The Astros had some fun with the trade deadline.
They were bullying
Here's
him.
Here's Julia.
Joke the last few days. It kept telling him he'd been traded. They kept hugging him like it was his last game every day.
That's hilarious.
Altuve trying to talk me into him being traded after the trade deadline had already passed. He tried to come up to me during the game and say, hey, Urquidy, he's gone. No. Leave him alone.
I literally love Jose Altuve.
Literally love him.
Yeah, that's the Justin Verlander quote.
Yeah, I remember that now. Okay. That's bullying, though. Can Jose Altuve stay in the Astros clubhouse when he's bullying one of their best players?
When Urquidy started last, it was against Seattle, I believe. There was a huge ovation when he left the game because people were like, this is probably the last time he's in an Astros uniform. And then lo and behold, he did not get traded. So the Astros having some fun with him last night. All right. So Yordan, 4 strikes. Thoughts?
That was amazing. I mean, I like, and Sean brought this up on our group text, I like that the umpires are in on the Yordan for MVP race. How did no one notice is my real question in response to it. No one noticed. Alex Cora didn't notice, the manager of the Red Sox. The Red Sox pitcher did not notice. The Red Sox catcher did not notice. Someone had to have known out there, right? And credit to Yordan Alvarez, who must have been like, wait, let's see what happens. let's try to play this out. This is a really bad day for umpires anywhere. I mean, what is your purpose if you can't even keep track of it? And look, I get it. Let's admit it. Baseball drags. It can be boring. I could totally understand how some people would stop paying attention and miss out on the fact that Yordan Alvarez got 4 strikes.
I can't believe nobody noticed it.
But the whole, yes, right. Exactly. You have 4 umpires. You have every Red Sox player in the field. You have every Red Sox player in the dugout. You have every Red Sox coach in the dugout. You have everyone on the Astros, too. No one was like, wait a second, what? It was incredible. Absolutely incredible that no one noticed. And I, you know what? I got to give everybody credit. I mean, that's some impressive ADD that we all deep down have a little bit of in the smartphone era.
It's probably also, if you are on the broadcast, you're probably going, okay, surely I'm wrong. Have you ever thought like something is too weird? You're like, I have to be wrong about this. But they keep track. Like, they score the game.
Yeah.
The radio guys, the TV guys, you would think that's one of the managers, like you said, not only Alex Cora, he has an entire staff.
Right. And I think the radio broadcast actually called it out and they were like, wait a second.
Oh.
Wait, we must be wrong. We must be wrong on that. And it's funny. I mean, when everyone just continues to do something, then...
Even the ESPN app showed, there's a screenshot of the app for that plate appearance, and it showed it as a 1-3 count.
Really?
And then a ground out to second.
Because it's probably impossible to put that number in there.
Yeah.
You would think.
It's crazy. Like, it also makes me think how many times this happens during a season where, like, we just get the count wrong.
I don't know. I would say if the over-unders won... I would say under.
I mean,
under.
What happened yesterday and no one noticed? If Twitter didn't exist, no one would
know.
That's
a great point.
But Twitter's been around for a while. Like, this is the first time I've ever heard of four strikes. I've heard of five downs before in football. I've never heard of, and that's happened several times, but I've four strikes. I mean, the home plate umpire, like, don't you like striking people out? Like, have a little passion, a little zest
for your job. Yordan's not going to say anything, right?
Like, definitely not.
I just can't believe that nobody from the Red Sox did.
Yeah, that's the thing. If anyone of the Astros notices, they don't say anything.
Correct.
As we know with the Astros. And the Red Sox, it's really on the Red Sox to call it out.
Right. People are calling the Astros cheaters for not, like, falling on the sword here. Sorry, we're not going to do that.
If
our team tries hard.
Right.
Your team is a bunch of, like, honorable losers, like Ned Stark, who is dead. Spoiler alert.
Do you remember when... A couple weeks ago when Martin Maldonado challenged and said that he got somebody out at first base, and I'm trying to remember who it was.
Was it the Angels game? Was that weird play
it was,
at
it
first?
It was something like that. I think it was – it might have been that. Regardless, the guy on the other team knew that he had gotten out, right? And, like, and so when Martin challenged, the Astros challenged, sure enough, the umpires ended up calling him out. He just kind of smiled, and the broadcasters went, yep. Yeah, he knew it, right? So
right.
If you know it and you're benefiting from it, you're not going to say anything.
No, no, unless you're a goody-two-shoes loser.
But that is wild. Stats Guy Paul.
Yeah.
Stats Guy Paul has an advanced stat.
Oh, well, let me tell you guys about BABIP, which is not to be confused with Klongdorp or Ex-Woba and other advanced statistics. Which of those statistics is real? One is, one isn't. Hmm.
When you wrote this in the rundown, I had never heard of this. I have no problem admitting that, by the way.
I will credit Astros Reddit for this.
Okay.
Because we've been wondering, okay, well, what the hell is going on with the Astros offense this year? For those who care about the advanced statistics, the Astros from last year to this year have dropped from number 4 in baseball to 28th in baseball in BABIP, which is batting average on balls in play. The average has dropped from 305 to 267. So, in a nutshell, for the stupid like me out here, this means that every time they're hitting the ball, it's going straight to the defense or it's flying out.
Okay.
So, you could make an argument right now that the Astros have just had bad luck when it comes to hitting this year. That's what happens with batting average on balls in play. I sometimes feel like that statistic... It gets used a little bit too much to support arguments,
right. But
it is a pretty noticeable drop to go from 4th to 28th in 1 year. That and credit to whoever on Astros Reddit that found that. That was an impressive find.
If you walked up to James Click and wanted to talk about the Astros BABIP, do you think he would know what you were talking about?
Oh, definitely.
Is he that inside baseball to where he would know?
You would think.
He would be like, actually, BABIP's not a good advanced stat. Here's an even more advanced.
He'd correct you on it.
Bleep Florp.
That sounds accurate.
Bleep Florp.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we do have some NFL action to talk about. It might just be the Hall of Fame game, but we're going to discuss that as well as some of the other news around the league. But first, Pauly G is going to tell you about our friends at BUSR.
Yes, BUSR. Look, football season's right around the corner. You want to go to BUSR.com/ESPN right now, and you want to put a deposit down. Why? Because the deposit gets doubled. You get free money, but you have to go to BUSR.com/ESPN. Maybe you're going to make an NFL futures bet. For example, maybe you're absolutely off of your bleeping rocker, and you think that Davis Mills could win MVP of the NFL this year. The odds at BUSR.com/ESPN are just plus 14,000. I mean, come on. The odds are too good to pass that up. Honestly, I've been thinking about it when we go to Vegas next week, perhaps putting a little bit down, or at BUSR.com/ESPN. They have a props builder, too, that allows you to create your own prop bets. And if you deposit with crypto, too, ooh, one of those, you'll get a 45% cash bonus on top of that deposit. But you have to go to BUSR.com/ESPN. That's BUSR.com/ESPN.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
35 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. We do have some football tonight, but first let's talk a little jerseys. Who is your number 35, Pauly G?
The best number 35 in NFL history. This is tricky because there's actually a guy who showed up that was on this list earlier. I think that I already named him in Walt Kiesling. The guy,
hey, Walt.
The best that I could think of as far as number 35, because we're not quite at number 34, which is definitely going to be Walter Payton tomorrow, was Aeneas Williams. How many of you guys remember Aeneas Williams?
Aeneas Williams.
Aeneas Williams was a cornerback for the Arizona Cardinals, and then ultimately he finished his career with the very late stage greatest show on turf, St. Louis Rams, three times first team All-Pro, 95, 97, 01, a two-time second team All-Pro in 94, 96. Led the NFL in interceptions in 1994. Aeneas Williams, everybody, 55 career picks.
Who could forget Aeneas? Shout out to Aeneas. All right, we have some football tonight, guys.
I saw him once at the Super Bowl in Radio Row, and I think he was asleep.
Really? Like Tony La Russa style.
He was listening to someone speak, and I was like, wow, this guy sucks. The guy who's speaking. Good for you, Aeneas.
Did you see that video of Tony La Russa falling asleep during the game?
It
was like the second inning. I mean, it wasn't.
Well, again, it's baseball. Like, just like the umpires losing track of the count. Like, I don't blame them.
Jags versus Raiders. The Hall of Fame game is tonight. I will be watching to get my football fix. I don't know if it's going to be the most exciting game because Doug Peterson said that Trevor Lawrence will not be playing, but I'm so excited to see it.
How about we set a challenge for ourselves tonight? We all set a timer for ourselves. And we don't tell anybody what the timer is. And we all come back tomorrow and we report just how long we watched the game last night before we had ADD. And we're like, oh, yeah, this isn't very good football. I don't know who any of these guys are.
What's the over-under?
I will set the over-under at 30 minutes.
Do you think you'll watch 30, Sean?
I don't think I will.
If it wasn't for this game, I probably would watch 0 minutes.
Yeah,
zero
I'm going to be watching the Astros.
This game that we're playing, not the game. I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah. Okay. I will be watching the Houston Astros, but I am excited to see some of the pregame coverage, some of the interviews. It's just going to be nice to have the NFL back in action. We now know who the mother effer was that Tom Brady was talking about. If you guys remember, he did a fun sit-down interview on HBO with The Shop.
Right.
He was like way more open and candid than he usually was, but he talked about the process of picking a new team. And if you remember, he had a quote where he said there was a team that had courted him and then ended up not wanting him, which Paul Gallant style, Tom said, made him want to go to that team a little bit because he felt like they rejected him. And his quote was, "You're sticking with that mother effer?" We now know that that mother effer was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, that bummed me out. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
I want my Lord and Savior to like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I think he likes Ryan Fitzpatrick as a person. I think that he's probably saying you're sticking with that mother effer as far as skill set.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the choice is either Ryan Fitzpatrick or Tom Brady, and someone picks Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're going to go, you pick that MFer over my Lord and Savior, Tom Brady?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was a very bizarre choice to stick with him. You know, man, I got to say, too, going back to that episode, a thing I noticed, like, hey, LeBron, it's your TV show. What, are you too intimidated to be overshadowed by greatness by having Tom Brady on the show? Because that was the one episode LeBron didn't show up for.
Yeah, I think
that's a terrible look.
I think it's an attention thing.
See, look how I shifted the focus of the story from on Tom Brady to on LeBron James. That is master craftsmanship right there.
I thought it was interesting, and I do think he was just speaking about a skill. Because who doesn't love Fitzmagic? I've never heard anybody say they didn't like him.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's a shame that, obviously, things didn't work out great for him here compared to his little tenure with the New York Jets, where he had a really good season after Geno Smith got punched in the face and he steps in as the starting quarterback. One of the most down-to-earth people I've ever seen in the NFL. I think it helps when you're a journeyman and you act like that. Obviously, you're going to get more opportunities.
He'll be with Amazon this season.
Yeah.
He'll be a broadcaster.
I think that'll be a real home run, seriously. I think he's going to be good at that.
Saints rookie offensive tackle Trevor Penning was kicked out of practice for the third consecutive day for fighting. On Monday, he fought with University of Houston alum Peyton Turner and Taco Charlton. On Tuesday, it was JT Gray and then Scott Patchen. 3 days in a row.
They must hate him. Look, it's one thing to do it once. It's another to do it twice. Three times. And would this be happening? I know you've brought up a couple of times, Vanessa, how you're wondering what the Saints are going to be this season with Dennis Allen instead of Sean Payton.
Right.
This doesn't happen with Sean Payton, I would think.
No.
I mean, goodness. Three times. You're a first-round pick, too. Someone's got to come in here and tell the guy, like, calm the hell down, crazy man.
I feel like Sean Payton is one of the quote-unquote players' coaches that if he lays into you, like, you never want to make him mad again.
Right.
Like, I never picture some of the, like, I don't picture Pete Carroll laying into guys. But, Sean, but to your point, yeah, that wouldn't happen. Yeah, you're not good enough to cause fights.
You're a rookie.
You're a
too.
Rookie. You haven't proven anything.
If you want to make friends in the locker room, you can't do stuff like this, period. Ask anyone, especially defensive linemen, too. Like, this is the time of camp where there's like no hitting. You have like a couple of full pads practiced thus far, probably. And you're going to, in those full padded practices, get to the point of fighting with guys who have been with this team longer than you. Like, you're not ingratiating yourself with anybody, and you're also probably going to build a pretty strong resume against yourself should you not work out in New Orleans to ever go somewhere else.
The internet is a wonderful place, and it was the internet that did some statistical searching and found that Kyler Murray is worse as a quarterback when Call of Duty comes out.
Right. Well, there's
double XP. I'm not a gamer, yeah. So can somebody explain this to me like I'm five?
During the pandemic, I played a ton of Call of Duty, and there was nothing else to do in Seattle because we were locked inside of our apartments, and Antifa was
the
roaming
libs.
Around. When you have a double experience point weekend, that means that you can unlock new weapons, new skins, and other
skins.
Things. You can essentially change the way that your shooter character looks like.
How your little guy dresses up and what
cute.
His guns
That's
look
like Barbie Dream World.
So the double experience weeks means you can upgrade your guns more quickly, etc. So that means that that Kyler Murray was playing longer on weekends where you would get double experience. I gotta say, though, like, Murray can buy all of the unlockables, so I do respect the research, but you can just do microtransactions to get all of these things to unlock on your guns and stuff like that.
His passer rating, passing yards, completion percentage, and win-loss record was worse during those XP weekends.
Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Poor Marine. Man, I wish real war was like Call of Duty. Unlock new weapons and level up. It sounds like a really fun time. Fair point. Yeah.
Hollywood Brown, certified idiot.
Respawn when you die.
Going 126 miles per hour and therefore was arrested.
I was
going
to defend him until I found out it was 126 miles per hour. Because I was thinking to myself, okay, when I was driving back from Seattle to Texas, I drove through Arizona and I know I was going very fast at certain points because it's a desert. Like, there's nothing in Arizona or in New Mexico, essentially, once you get through Phoenix. I figured he was driving because it's criminally illegal to drive your car more than 20 miles per hour over the speed limit in Arizona. So I figured he might be going like 85 or 90 or something like that. 126. Good God, dude. What are you doing?
I have literally never had even the thought to drive that quickly. I mean, if you're at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, maybe. But on like a road?
I've never been able to go quite that fast, but I will definitely admit I've gotten up to 110 a couple of times. Yes. Yes. Oh, there's that one stretch, I mean, between Texas and Dallas where it's just like Audubon. And I would love there to be an Audubon somewhere out in the United States of America.
I'd love for there to be a Cinnabon somewhere.
There's a Cinnabon everywhere, isn't there?
Yeah, I don't know. Audubon reminds me of Cinnabon.
Cinnabon.
It's my A.
They have no link at all.
When you have one show and two people with ADD, Sean just sits behind
you. You just heard Bon and you're like, cinnamon rolls.
I assume you're like, I wonder if Audubon and Cinnabon like come from the same word or something.
Yeah,
is that word?
There's something like that, and then I noticed the bonds on top of our heads. All right, I'll stop.
The buns. They're not bonds.
If you own your home, listen to me, because I'm going to save you a lot of money. There's no transition.
You're not saving those jokes because they were absolute disasters.
And you don't even have to talk to an agent. You pay too much for home insurance. but it doesn't have to be a hassle thanks to TGS. They have a brand new system. It shops 3 dozen carriers, and you get that full quote in just 15 seconds. And all you have to do is send a single text. So take your phone right now. Text the word money to 232323. You send your home address to them via text message, and you get that full quote within 15 seconds. This is a legit company. They're the real deal. Their online rating is nearly perfect. And you could save about $870, which, by the way, their average customer saved last year. Again, I know you don't like to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it easy, easy, easy. Text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're rolling along on a Thursday with some breaking news in the basketball world and really the legal world in general. Brittany Griner found guilty of drug possession and smuggling in a Russian court outside Moscow. She's been sentenced to 9 years in prison. Per ESPN, the true length of her detainment will be determined by negotiations on a prisoner swap between the U.S. and Russia. So that's still being negotiated, those conversations between Joe Biden and those folks in Russia. I don't know who's doing it in Russia, but those conversations continue. 9 years is a long time, and this is just a sad situation.
I, again, do feel bad for her, but at the same time, you're going to Russia. You should have been smarter. The excuses that she gave for having it still in her bag, I thought, were lame and that of a child. That said, I see this more, and I look at whatever legal defense she had. I don't know if it was provided to her by the Russian state, but the smuggling charge seems to be ridiculous, right? I mean, it's not like she was smuggling
it. She's not a drug dealer.
With intention to distribute, you know? So I look at whoever was in her ear on that side of things, and maybe she didn't have anyone in her ear, and I think that's messed up. I do think that ultimately she's going to end up finding herself back in the U.S. I do think it's kind of crazy that she might find herself out of prison internationally for marijuana while there are so many people here that are in jail for marijuana possession. Maybe, I don't know, focus on your own backyard first. But this is one of those things that has become a bigger deal just because of the way that things are between the United States, Russia, and of course with Ukraine in the middle of all of that. So this is political showmanship here. First off by Russia, and on top of that, the return trip home by her. One more time, you are accountable for your actions. I feel bad for her, but there are other people that are imprisoned in Russia that have been there a lot longer than her, and I think it's kind of messed up if she gets to jump the line in front of those people.
It makes me appreciate the United States more. I know that sounds corny. I know that sounds, but like when you hear about things that happen in other parts of the world, whether it's a war, whether it's the way that they treat women, or the fact that they are going to lock somebody up for 9 years, and that, that's a scary, scary situation. I agree. She shouldn't have had marijuana. We've talked about this too, and it's oddly enough something that we've talked about with Deshaun Watson as well. Just the way that lawyers operate sometimes does not make sense.
Right.
Brittany Griner at first said that she didn't know she had it, and then the lawyer's excuse or reason became she had medical issues and needed it.
Right. All of her testimony, it's all over the place, and I mean, maybe there's a language barrier, but I doubt it in something that's as high profile as this. And yeah, I think whoever was in charge, though, didn't do a very good job on this front if there's smuggling charges that are being put in there, because I think she did actually plead guilty to some of the charges against her. So anyway, though, to go back to it, I mean, like, what's crazy is we're going to trade an arms dealer to get her back. And it's like, nothing against WNBA players, but it's a WNBA player.
What's the deal with the arms? Is he dangerous? How do we feel about this?
Yeah, he's dangerous. This is the guy that they made a movie based off of with Nicolas Cage. Lord of War is based off of this guy.
You're a Nicolas Cage aficionado.
Yeah. That, by the way, a good movie? Nick Cage movie.
What's
yes.
it called?
Lord of War.
Lord of War.
Yeah.
All right. So we have to give the arms dealer... we have to send him back to Russia?
I guess so.
And then he goes free.
I guess so.
That's a very scary thought.
That's what it seems like will happen. And yeah, it's because Brittany Griner basically had it. My dog ate my homework excuse for not taking weed out of her bag. Oh, I had to get tested for COVID. But honestly, that part of it got me mad. Like, I know there's a lot of sympathy for her, and I feel
sure.
I do feel bad for her too. Like, I'm not going to say I'm some soulless person out there. Any American should not be in Russian prison, okay? But just because, screw Russia. That is my take. My take is bleep Russia. Wow, what an original American take.
There you go.
But at the same time, like, you read, like, the statement she put out, and it was like, well, like, I had to get tested for COVID, and I had a lot of anxiety packing. I was like, what the hell, lady? Come on. This is not helping your cause
Arms
at
dealer.
All.
Thoughts and prayers for Brittany Griner. It's a scary situation, but I do hope we can all learn from this and appreciate what we have over here more, and then all of, you know, obviously don't take marijuana overseas. All right, LIV Golf Tour. Speaking of scary countries and things like that, Phil Mickelson and 10 other LIV golfers filed an antitrust lawsuit against the PGA Tour challenging their suspension. So Mickelson got a 2-year suspension for his role in recruiting players, calling them and saying, hey, we got private jets, we got guaranteed money, mm-hmm. we're still on nice courses. I get it, but the sales pitch apparently will cost him 2 years from the PGA.
The FedEx Cup playoffs are starting next week, and a couple of players, Taylor Gooch, Hudson Swafford, and Matt Jones. I don't know who those guys are. Sorry. But those guys are trying to get a temporary restraining order so that they can actually play. So that's what it's all about. It's that they want to be able to play in this. And honestly, I don't blame them for trying, but I have a hard time believing that the PGA is going to unruffle
the PGA
those feathers.
Shouldn't let them in. They chose a different golf tour.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so they can play in the majors, and then they can play in the FedEx playoff,
right.
And leave the tour and get millions of dollars. And the PGA is just supposed to be like, yeah,
but
all right.
You make
yeah.
your bed,
like,
lie
if
in
it's,
it.
If it's a PGA tour event and you leave the PGA tour, don't play.
But the PGA tour is a monopoly. And I mean
all sports leagues are monopolies.
Yeah, I get that, but I mean I don't know. I feel like this is one of those sports where you can show up or you don't have to show up. You don't get paid necessarily every single time that you're in. If you were getting a salary for every single event that you showed up for, that would be one thing. But you're not. You win your purse based off of where you place.
They get stipends and they get paid to show up.
I just think that
you can miss the cup at the Masters and get paid.
I think the guys that chose the LIV Golf Tour, it's fine. It's their choice. But you don't get to play the PGA right now. That's just that needs to be how it is.
If this happened in the NFL and there's a USFL and guys wanted to play in both, the NFL would be like, no, you can't play in both.
There's no scheduling conflict though. Then I mean, and I think it's a little bit different here. Like this is, I think golf and football are completely different.
All right,
on this side
basketball,
of things.
Baseball, tennis. What if one league won't let their players play in a different league?
Right.
Basketball, you can't play in Europe and then also play in the NBA.
But this isn't like a sport where there are teams or anything like that. This is an individual sport where you can show up or you don't show up. And
you think
golfers
should be treated as like almost freelancers?
Yeah. I mean, that's what the sport essentially is, isn't it? And I mean, do you really want, if you're the average viewer of golf, do you want to see a FedEx playoffs that's missing a bunch of the biggest names in golf? Sorry, I don't. If I'm a diehard golf fan, I'm like, listen, the best way to combat this leak is to just ignore it entirely and just let them continue to play, because this stuff gives them free publicity. It's like the USFL's lawsuit against the NFL, where they were suing the league because they wanted to all get brought into the league. The NFL, like, I guess, ultimately wins in the end there because they had a lot more power. But in this situation where it does seem like the LIV Golf Tour has a ton of money behind it, I don't know. I feel like they are giving it too much life. They should ignore it and just let it happen.
They have a ton of money, that's for sure. Bryson DeChambeau spoke with one Tucker Carlson about this situation. Here's what Bryson had to say.
You have a pizza shop that's been in existence for 50 years, and all the customers go to it, it's a great product. All of a sudden, a new pizza shop opens up, right? And they start paying the customers to come eat at their place. And that pizza is potentially a little bit better of a pizza, right? And then all of a sudden that original pizza house goes, if you go over there, we're banning you from ever coming back to our, pizza shop. What's wrong with that economic model?
Hell yeah. I don't know what
the worst thing is that he thought it was like actually like a really intelligent, like you can
Bryson.
Tell he really thought that.
Yeah,
through.
Wait, they're the customers in the pizza analogy.
Right.
That's Bryson in a nutshell. I really wish that like Tucker did a little more diligence here. What is happening? What is going on? Bryson DeChambeau. A couple of years ago, we looked at you
and you were a little beanpole. Now we look at you, and you look like someone who played in the NFL. What is happening? What is going on? Should I call you Broidson? Are you on the steroids?
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed you didn't do the interview in your Tucker Carlson voice because I always enjoy
that. I couldn't. I find Bryson DeChambeau to be the absolute worst.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. I know Patrick Reed sucks, but like Bryson DeChambeau, the people that like him too are like the exact people that you would expect to like him. The guy.
Affliction shirts.
He was
UT grad.
He was posting videos of himself doing
He's
dumbbell
an SMU
curls.
Grad, actually, which is even more.
Oh my god, yeah, that's so
that
classic.
Fits,
by the way,
fit. Yeah, that fits.
And the thing with him, what bothered me about him, there was this like one video that he had posting of himself where he was lifting, and his form was so bad with these dumbbell curls that he was doing, and I was just like, there's no way that the weight that you put on is natural. You clearly roided it up, Broidson,
and his body's falling apart now.
Is it? Oh,
I didn't know that.
He had injuries?
Yeah, he gets hurt all the time. And he's having to, like, dial it back. Where his whole thing was, like, just max effort every swing. And now, after 2 years, he can't anymore.
We'll see what happens. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the lawsuits pan out. When you look at how much they were going to pay Tiger Woods, I understand why some guys wanted that. But the pizza shop analogy.
Yeah.
Pizza shop analogy kind of goes hard. I'm not going to lie. It was stupid, but I understood it. Shout out to Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson DeChambeau entertaining Pizzagate.
There you go.
That would have been,
oh God.
That would have been something
that is
else.
That's
you
when Tucker Carlson perked up. Right. Yeah, it's a restaurant.
Fox News actually booked the interview
pizza
thinking
shop.
That it would be
Pizzagate. Pizza what is Gate. Happening? What's going on?
Coming up, what is happening? What's going on with Deshaun Watson and that situation? We'll talk about the latest next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's good.